We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Hi, my name is Michael Rosario from Saugerties, and you're listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM.
Field recordings, found sounds, soundscapes, ambience.
Bells, bugs,
whispers, and plinks.
Hosted by
Stephen Bradley
and Edward Rahelski.
Every fifth Tuesday of the month from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Bells, bugs, whispers, and plinks. On WGXC 90.7 FM, WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by WanderWise, a travel agency based in Volation, New York that specializes in adventure, wildlife, cruising, and cultural expeditions. Information to start planning your next adventure at www.travelatallcost.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Christina Bonsack of Germantown, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. I'm Amanda, not Jenny.
I'm Jenny. I almost forgot to start the show. Oops, but we made it.
I am always tempted to say that I'm Jenny, but
just feels right.
I'm just simply not.
Maybe someday.
One can hope, but yeah. I just wasn't born Jenny, and that's something I got to deal with every day. We are a twice a month, every second and fourth Tuesday to be exact, movie talk show here on WGXC Acre 90.7 FM from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. We get on the airwaves to talk about movies that we've watched around a theme that we've picked previously. Sometimes we do a little mix up, a little special episode, just what we've been watching lately. We just did a whole bunch about the Oscars. Tonight we have a theme that maybe only me and Jenny are excited about and nobody else. But before we get into that, let's talk about what's playing in the theaters near us. Jenny, you want to kick it off?
I would love to. I'm going to tell you about what's playing at TSL, otherwise known as Time and Space Limited in Hudson. This week we have Dawn of Impressionism, No Other Land, On Becoming a Guinea Fowl, Thank You Very Much, and the National Theatre of London Live, Doctor Strangelove.
Cool.
And if you're interested in any of those movies or showtimes, you can find out more information at timeandspace.org.
Amazing. I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York, which is also a combination Subway, Carvel, mini golf, and Airbnb.
They got
and
it all.
Laundromat. We have Snow White, The Day the Earth Blew Up, and Paddington in Peru. You can find out more about ticketing and showtimes at WyndhamTheater.com. That's WyndhamTheater.com.
All right. And I'm going to split up upstate films into two this
time.
That's
a great idea.
This time.
Because then I won't have to double up.
Exactly. I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Star Cinema, which is the upstate films location in Rhinebeck. We have No Other Land, March of the Penguins, Mickey 17, From Ground Zero, Eric LaRue close-up with director Michael Shannon. Can you believe it?
Whoa.
Misericordia, The Penguin Lessons, The Heartbreak Kid, Reds, and National Theatre Live, Doctor Strangelove. I'm going to tell you this again in a second, but if you want to know more about those, you can find out more at upstatefilms.org.
Awesome. I'm going to tell you about what's playing at Story Screen Cinema on Fairview Avenue in Hudson, New York. Right now we have Snow White, Opus, and Mickey 17, as well as repertory screenings of Spice World,
Yes.
Star Trek First Contact.
Wow.
That movie really scared me as a kid.
It's scary.
Rush Hour and The Mummy.
Oh my God.
I know.
Wow.
Big Rush Hour.
Huge, I was like, huge movies for people born in 1991.
It didn't even soak in until I... All right. And you can find out more about showtimes and ticketing by going to storyscreenpresents.com.
All right. And now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the other Upstate Films location, the Orpheum Theater, which is located in Saugerties. We have No Other Land, March of the Penguins, Lost Highway, Ishtar, Ourselves Stories, Joan Didion and the American Dream Machine, Breaking Silence Close-Up with co-writer/executive producer Pierre Hauser, Disney's Snow White, My Life with Dante with Joseph Luzzi, The Heartbreak Kid, and Reds. And if you're interested in any of those Showtime movies or Showtimes, like, what are they? They're movies. What the heck are they? They're movies, I guess. You can find out more information at upstatefilms.org.
All right. Last but not least is the Spotlight Theater, also in Hudson and also on Fairview Avenue. We have this week The Alto Knights, Rule Breakers, Snow White, Black Bag, Novocaine, The Day the Earth Blew Up, Last Breath, Captain America, Brave New World, Paddington in Peru, Mickey 17, The Chosen, Last Supper Part 1.
Sorry.
More on that later.
Sorry.
A Working Man, which looks like another Statham joint.
Oh.
Very excited. And Death of a Unicorn and Woman in the Yard.
Wow.
A lot. So find out more by going to spotlighttheater.com if you wish and select Hudson from the drop down menu.
Wow. A lot of movies out. Who knew?
A lot of movies out. I'm excited about another Jason Statham movie where he is part of his personality in the movie is that he has a job.
Yeah.
It looks like from the poster.
He's a working man. That's what he does.
I gotta be honest, man. The Beekeeper was one of the best movies of 2024.
Huge Beekeeper head. I did not see it, but I will.
I think you should see it tonight. It's really good.
Maybe tonight. That's what I'm... Well, I'm going to talk to my mom on the phone, but after that, maybe I'll watch The Beekeeper.
Wow. Jenny, how are you this
evening? I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling a little chaotic. I got a lot of little tasks here. Feeling real head would fall off if it wasn't attached feeling.
That's so true.
Which maybe brings me...
Wow, segue. That was so sneaky. I didn't even notice it coming.
I thought about it on the car ride over.
It fooled me. I was like, wow, she's really got a lot going on right now.
I mean, you know, it's a lot, but it's also very little.
It's very small, famously very, very small, but we can't talk about that here.
It's a secret. So tonight we have the second installment of a little series, theme series we have going on. It is...
Gross out.
: medical muck.
Avid listeners of the show may remember our episode from, like, I don't know, 3 years ago called Gross Out, Everything That Oozes.
Yep,
which
exactly.
Is when we did slime. This time we're doing blood.
Yep, exactly. Gross Out as a series is as it sounds, about the yucky stuff. Because Jenny and I, listen... We get a hankering to watch something with fluids.
Yeah, we're yucky people, and this is how we express ourselves.
Exactly.
I will say, I feel like I have a segue into my first movie, which
yes,
is that
yes,
part
yes,
of.
Yes.
So we were talking about reprising an old theme because we always talk about coming back and doing a part two, for this episode, and we've been talking a lot about a TV show that's on right now called The Pitt.
Yes.
Which I am watching.
I am going to be watching.
And it's really fun. It's very yucky. It's an HBO show about 24 hours in an ER in Pittsburgh.
So fun.
And I like it a lot, although it pales in comparison to its spiritual predecessor, ER, because it also stars Noah Wiley.
And isn't it getting sued?
It is. Yeah, I believe it is getting sued because of its similarity to ER. But also, like, I think it was originally pitched as something else. I don't know. There's some messy stuff happened in the development of the show.
Yeah.
But it is, I believe, I'm not sure. I don't know if it's the Michael Crichton estate or somebody else who is who's mad at the pit.
I would hope that it's not Michael Crichton because I want him to be like cool.
Well, I have great news for you about Michael Crichton's coolness.
He's dead.
Well, no.
So he is he dead?
He is dead. Yes.
So he's totally cool.
Yeah, he's really cool. I was going to say he directed the first movie I watched for this theme, and it was really cool.
Oh,
and had good politics.
Was it Coma?
Yeah, I watched Coma.
Oh my God, I've never seen it. I've always wanted to see Coma.
Coma was great. It was the best of the three movies I watched. Tell you that much.
It was on my list, but I was worried it wouldn't be mucky enough.
Yeah, I will. That is the one critique that I have of Coma. It's not the only critique I have of Coma. My main critique of it in context of our theme is that it's not very mucky.
I mean, I guess we could have said, we could have done better for ourselves and said like medical nightmare, medical mayhem.
Yeah. I know muck was just, it felt like the right alliterative word for gross and for grossing people out. Cause everybody I've talked to about this, I'm like, they're like, oh, what are you doing this week? I'm like, well, we're doing a continuation of our theme gross out, but this time it's, medical muck, and everyone's like, why?
Yeah. They're like, that's disgusting.
That's so gross.
And it's true because like some of the other ones, which we'll not be talking about here tonight, but you know, big figures in this category are like the human centipede.
just
awful.
Just nasty movies. Nasty movies for nasty
really,
people.
Really yucky.
Yucky stuff. Can I tell you about Coma?
I would love to hear about Coma, Jenny.
So I'm chasing the high of ER literally every day of my life.
Yep.
I love it so much. It's so moody. It was created by Michael Crichton. For those of you who do not know that, he was a medical doctor before he was a novelist.
That's so cool. For those of you who don't recognize that name, Michael Crichton is an author after he was a doctor, who penned Jurassic Park.
Yep.
Congo.
Yep. Like so many others that I can't think of off the top of my head right now for some reason.
But basically, if you're really enjoying something, it's probably written
Michael Crichton. Yeah, almost. Oh, Westworld. Westworld is a Michael Crichton.
Yeah, exactly. Like a lot of Folly of Man. Classic.
The man loves. Oh, Timeline, one of my faves. Huge Timeline.
Oh,
fan.
God. You know this is a Timeline house.
But anyway, so Michael Crichton, huge man. He was like 6'7".
Oh my God. You don't know.
Yeah, he's really, really, really tall. An extremely tall man.
Oh my God. I love him so much.
He's just rules.
I remember when my parents always had a fascinating bookshelf to me as a kid. Like they had the whole Clan of the Cave Bear hardcover set, which had like incredible illustrations on the cover. And I just stare at it for hours.
It makes a lot of sense.
Only child life, just staring at pictures. But they also, one of the books that in his like later career, so probably late 90s, early 2000s, is a book called Prey, which I think was about nanotech. And it's just kind of nostalgic thinking about like when that was a really scary idea.
I know. There was so much information or like media. There were so many things about nanotechnology in our like cultural landscape in the year 2002.
Yeah.
Where did it go?
Where it's like robots the size of blood cells.
Yeah, itty bitty. Yeah. The size of a hair.
We were so scared.
We were so scared of them.
I just watched, I'm rewatching, as you know, the later bad seasons of The X-Files, because I haven't rewatched them since I first saw them, and there's a nanotech episode.
Yes, it was everywhere. It was all over the sci-fi channel in the year 2000.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, please. A worthwhile aside. So Michael Crichton, Coma, from 1978, a movie directed by Michael Crichton, which he didn't do very often.
Oh.
He actually did not write it. It is based on a novel, but I think it was written by a guy named Robin Cook or something. Robin Cook. It was not of his own.
Wasn't his own source material.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
which is
surprising.
Pretty interesting. I do feel like the modern, like, I feel like directors don't usually. Well, maybe that's not true. I was like, people who are primarily authors maybe don't necessarily like direct their own work, but maybe that's also like an old fashioned idea. But so Coma is a movie about a doctor named Susan Wheeler, who is dating another doctor named Mark Bellows. Susan is played by Genevieve Bujold, who is the girlfriend from Dead Ringers. That's what I know her from.
Wow.
Yeah, she's such a babe. She really elevates this movie. Like, her performance is great. She's dating another doctor who's played by Michael Douglas, who That's looks right. unbelievably like Kirk Douglas right. in this movie.
Yep.
Huge Kirk Douglas energy yep. coming from him. And the two of them work at a hospital. They're both like full-time physicians. And Susan, Dr. Susan Wheeler's best friend, comes in because she needs to get an abortion. And it's the 70s, and this movie has, like, an unbelievably good relationship with abortion. It's wild.
That's so
I was
cool.
so impressed. I mean, it is. It's post-Roe, so that makes sense. But it has, it shows it happening. All of the doctors talk about it like it's totally normal. They call it a therapeutic abortion because it's just that she doesn't want the baby. And it rules.
That's so cool.
It's a really sick function of the movie Coma is that it has like really interesting gender politics. Actually, parts of it, like, it's not as good as Silence of the Lambs by any stretch of the imagination, but it has a lot of similar scenes, like the scenes in Silence of the Lambs where Clarice is like surrounded by a bunch of dudes at the FBI.
Oh, it kind so
of
good.
It also kind of has scenes that similarly evoke that, where Susan's like the only woman doctor in a locker room full of men doctors,
where it like feels so thrillingly ahead of its time.
Yeah,
and, like, treated with like a lot of,
it's very thoughtful.
Yeah,
like it feels like it's very much like we're pointing at it, like it is, she is absolutely treated differently by her colleagues. Yep. Even though she is also a doctor. But so her best friend Nancy comes in to get an abortion. But while she is under anesthesia, she falls into a coma. And the tests come back and it turns out that she's brain dead. And Susan is obviously like extremely distraught by this because Nancy's young and healthy. And it seems like a total freak accident. Like something went wrong, but she doesn't know what it is. The next day, a young Tom Selleck comes into the hospital for
hello.
Knee surgery.
Oh.
And what do you know? The same thing happens to him. He goes under anesthesia for knee surgery, but something happens during the surgery. Everything seems perfectly normal, but his brain just stops working and he goes into a coma. So she is immediately like, something is wrong. Like, this should not be happening. These young, healthy people should not be falling into comas totally, like, unprompted. And she starts to dig into it. And finds out that both of them had been tested for tissue typing, which is a test where they see if you are compatible for organ donation.
Okay.
And she's like, that's weird. Why would they have been tissue typed? And her boyfriend, Mark, who's Michael Douglas, is like, you're being so paranoid.
Classic.
Classic.
Why are you being so weird? Being is it so the recent weird. Trauma you had in your life? God, you're God. Acting up.
Like, literally. Oh, my God. He's the worst. He's the worst. It's such a funny relationship. Like, one of the first scenes with the two of them, they live together and they both get home from work. And he's like, I'm going to take a shower because I just worked a double. And she's like, so did I. And he's like, well, I want to take a shower first because I worked all night. And she's like, so did I. And then she just like gets into the shower.
Yes.
And then he just like fights with her in the hallway. It's so funny. Like, he's just such a jerk. But so Susan cannot let this go. She continues to dig. She starts to talk to the head anesthesiologist at the hospital, Dr. George. But he's like, you're not allowed to do that. So stop. And then she like gets in huge trouble with the director of the, yes, so much red tape. Cause she does, she like has a kid tech intern,
yes.
Help her by like printing out some information from the new computer system.
Oh my God. It's all there.
It's all there. And he immediately gets in trouble and gets fired because he wasn't supposed to do that. It was like confidential and she's not supposed to be digging into this. So I don't know how much I want to tell you. Like, I don't want to tell you the whole story of Coma.
It's, okay.
It's also like pretty long. That's kind of my, it's not actually that long. It's like an hour and 45 minutes, but it feels a little long.
Yeah.
The pacing in Coma is a little weird. As Susan continues to like kind of dig into this mystery about what's going on in the hospital, she finds out that there have been several of these same incidents happening over the last couple of years. Like in the last year, 10 other people who are young and otherwise healthy have fallen into a coma. And all of them happened in the same operating room.
Ah.
And all of them were then earmarked to be sent to a in a like outpatient care facility called, I think it's like Jefferson Industries or something.
Something with a mysterious name. Delicious.
And the my favorite thing about that, I think, is it called Jefferson Industries? It's really important that I tell you what it's called.
Yep.
Because it's, oh, this whole thing takes place in Boston, by the way. So sorry.
God, it's
great. And the location that they used for this like mysterious off-patient site is was the active Xerox like head location.
Wow. Yes.
Like, I can't remember what the word.
Headquarters?
Headquarters, yeah. The Xerox headquarters outside of Boston, which I think is very funny. It's massive brutalist building.
Yes.
Yeah, the Jefferson Institute.
Oh, so good.
A remote care facility. So she's like, something's wrong. What is going on with this institute? Why, where are all these bodies going? What the heck is going on? She continues to dig. Her boss gets really mad at her and makes her go on vacation for a weekend. And then there's like a funny montage in the middle where she and Michael Douglas go to the seaside. And it's like a cute 70s montage of them having a really nice time.
That's what makes it feel long.
Yeah. But it's really cute. I really liked it. And then, yeah, she continues on her search, and there's like some really fun, chase scenes. Like she really like, she's climbing all up in the roofs in these places, cause she goes to the Jefferson Institute to see what's going on there. And it turns out it is a extremely low cost care, quote unquote, care facility for people in like long-term comas. This is the coolest part of this movie. They suspend them from the ceiling.
Yeah, that's
which
what
is
I've
on
seen.
The poster.
That's, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's cheaper, I guess, than keeping them in beds.
Sure,
doesn't make any sense. But it makes it makes for an extremely cool image.
Very cool. I mean, listen, we know where the cell took it from.
Exactly. but yeah, this movie actually not very yucky. It's more of like a paranoid thriller, which I kind of didn't realize until I was already halfway through it. There is a really fun scene for yuckiness factor, where Susan goes down to the morgue where they're going to do an autopsy on her friend Nancy. And we see whoever the guy is who runs the morgue. He uses a deli slicer to slice Nancy's brain. And then they like look at slides of her brain.
Wow.
And while that's happening, there's another guy hanging out down there played by Ed Harris, who's just like cutting an organ open.
Oh my God.
It's got so much fun texture.
See, that's like, okay. We could have made the descriptor wider mm-hmm. by like just replacing the word muck. However, I believe any medical kind of intense medical moments treated flippantly is gross.
Yeah, like, it is.
Yeah, just
totally.
Being like, come on down to the morgue. We're slapping organs around.
Yeah,
here.
And they're just like cutting open her friend. And it's like, it's so, yeah, it's really gross. And it is, the effects are great. Like they're very yucky.
Yeah.
They're nasty.
Hospitals and surgeries, gross.
It's really gross. There is actually one other really yucky scene where some scary guy is chasing her through the hospital because she's seen something she shouldn't see.
Oh, no.
And she hides in, like, the morgue where they, for some reason, they have the corpses hanging from their heads.
Whoa.
On, like, two long racks, like, jeez, a bunch of suits. It's
like
really
a
weird.
Locker?
Like a meat
my
locker.
God.
But, like, they're not, like, there's not, like, a hook through their head. They're just, like, there's, like, little holders holding their heads
weird.
To, like.
That can't. That can't be.
It can't be real. I don't know. I have some questions
that
for Michael Crichton.
That can't be right.
But she, in order to escape, she like pushes the bodies at him and they all like fall off like clothes off of a clothing rack. It's like both really funny and really gross.
So good. Wow. Yeah, that can't be up to code.
No, I was like, surely that can't be real.
Just
this is crazy.
Letting them hang. Yeah. My God.
Yucky. But yeah, I really enjoyed Coma. I won't tell you how it ends, but it is like a really fun, delightful paranoid thriller from 1978.
I was going to watch it too. And then I thought maybe not mucky enough, yeah. But now I'm excited.
Pretty fun. Pretty delightful. Yeah. Strong recommend. I just was so struck by, yeah, like it's fairly modern attitudes towards like women in the workplace and abortion. I was just so like, and that happened so early on that I was like, oh, I'm all in on Coma.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was such a pleasant surprise.
God, another point for Crichton.
Thanks, Michael Crichton.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Mike. wow. I'm going to tell you about a movie I watched last night.
Please.
And it was per your recommendation.
Oh.
I finally watched 2022 David Cronenberg's Crimes of the Future.
Yes, I forgot that we talked about that.
This movie is exactly what the prompt is.
Yes, it's perfect.
And I loved it.
It's so good. It's so,
so good. Okay, so before I like get into how much I loved it, for those of you who don't know, David Cronenberg is a director who is famous for his fantastic additions to the body horror subgenre. Mm-hmm. And Crimes of the Future is actually his first body horror since Existence.
Yeah, totally.
And it stars Viggo Mortensen, Lea Seydoux, and Kristen Stewart,
mm-hmm.
as well as a couple other recognizable faces. And it takes place in an alternate present or a future for the human race where humans have lost the ability to feel pain, and thus there is surgeries going on everywhere.
Yes.
So,
just for fun.
Just for fun. Yeah. No one feels pain anymore. And also people don't get sick anymore, it mm-hmm. seems, or like they don't contract bacterial diseases. So like people are, there's a brief mention of like countertop surgery is like a new thing the kids are doing.
So gross.
Because it's how people get their kicks now in this gross world. Yeah. Basically we're at a really bizarre point in human evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, there is kind of this, there's a societal panic over, certain types of people like our main character, are growing new organs.
Yuck.
That we don't know what they're for.
What are they for?
Our main character is Saul Tensler, who is along with his partner, Caprice, I think is her name. Caprice,
yes,
who's
Caprice.
Played by Lea Seydoux. They are celebrity performance artists, and what they do is every time Saul Tensler grows a new organ, Lea Seydoux takes it out using this rehashed autopsy machine.
Yeah.
This movie rules, man.
Yeah.
I mean, so it is such a perfect follow-up to Existence mm-hmm. because there's a bunch of weird biomachine design
yeah.
that's like exactly like Existence. Like if you haven't seen Existence, I think it's 1998.
Yeah, something like that.
Existence is such a bizarre movie that when the first time I saw it, I did not like it. Second time I was like, this rocks.
Yeah, totally.
but that's another movie that has a lot of, machinery that is partly biological and looks very fleshy
yeah,
and gross.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. So how do I even start to tell you the plot of this movie? I mean, that kind of is it.
Yeah.
it's really, yeah, about, so we, Saul Tensler basically gets courted by a government agency asking him to go undercover to find out more information about a secret group of people who are against removing the new organs mm-hmm. because they think that this is the new age of human evolution
right.
and that these organs are developing so humans can start eating plastic and toxic mm-hmm. waste.
Yuck.
Which is cool because it's the stuff we created.
Yeah,
so
totally.
Our bodies are evolving to recycle our own
yeah.
waste, which is gross because I love regular food, but also would be cool.
Yeah, totally. An interesting concept.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's, I can really, as far as plot goes, I mean, it's just experience.
Yeah, totally.
You know, oh God, it's like at one point, so of course, like we see multiple Saul and Caprice performance art pieces where she removes organs. Also, she's a organ tattoo artist.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole thing of tattooing organs inside your body. He gets a zipper installed in his torso so you can, because he enters an inner beauty pageant.
It's so funny. It's a really funny movie, which I really appreciate.
Which is so, and that it feels so Cronenberg.
Yeah.
Like a lot of these movies of his that I saw when I was younger, that didn't register.
Mm-hmm.
But then Like, I finally saw Crash for the first time.
I still haven't seen Crash. Yeah.
Maybe our next episode should be Cars.
That's a really good idea. Yeah.
But Crash is hilarious.
Right.
It's so funny. I mean, because if you're going to have something so extremely strange, my reaction is going to be laughter.
Right. Totally. It's like you need the something to cut the tension.
Like, his collaborator Caprice performing a lewd act upon his new installed zipper, you know, it's just great.
It's so fun. It's such, everyone's giving such like fun, weird performances too. Like I need to rewatch it, cause I don't remember a lot
of
it.
You saw it in the theater.
I did. I saw it in the theater. But I do really remember Kristen Stewart's like insane deliveries of lines.
She's so fantastic. So yeah, Kristen Stewart. And then I forget the name of the other actor, but they play, doctors who are part of a new organ registry, basically. So they're like just a couple other bizarre characters who get involved in the scene.
Yeah, totally.
Is it even worth explaining?
Yeah, I know. It's one of those ones where it's kind of like, it's hard to describe it to somebody who hasn't seen it or hasn't seen any other David Cronenberg movies, because it is so, it's really just tonally weird. And that's why I feel like I don't really remember a lot of it, is because it's like, yeah, it's almost like tableau after tableau instead of, a plot, you know?
And there is one there, but right, it's hard to say if it's worth explaining more than I already have.
It's complex.
Because, I mean, not that it isn't worthy of going into, because it is, but, I guess it's worth saying too. So Saul Tensler, there's a name they have for the type of person he is, who's constantly growing new organs. Not everyone's like that.
Right.
Like Lea Seydoux, like most other humans, also cannot feel pain anymore. Mm-hmm. And people are kind of like thirsty for pain.
Yeah, totally.
Which I guess you would be. Yeah. So Saul is constantly uncomfortable because his body is changing.
Yeah,
and so he has a special bed.
It's so good. It's a really weird
that
bed.
Kind of looks like half of a walnut suspended from the ceiling.
That's a
and
great
it just like shakes him around.
Yeah, it's like
and he's just constantly like coughing and clearing his throat and
so
moaning.
Gross.
He also has a special chair, Jenny, the eating chair.
The eating chair,
and complete existence design where it kind of looks like it's made out of bones that don't exist.
Yeah.
And it just like shakes him around a little bit.
It's like a fleshy high chair.
And these all come from a certain, another couple of funny characters we meet are these two technicians who work for the company that makes these products who come to like service them. But apparently it is such an issue for these people to digest their food that they have to eat in this special eating chair.
So it shakes you all around.
I know, me too.
It reminds me of like when you're in the hospital for a long time, the bed that they put you in usually does have it micro adjusts so that you don't get like blood clots.
Yeah.
It's like the same energy.
Same idea.
It's just like shaking him around.
It's so funny.
It's so funny. It's great.
And this movie, it's all gross surgery.
Yeah.
It's all about gross surgery.
It's great. Yeah.
Again, in this world, that's the new hip thing.
Yeah.
Surgery is the new sex. I absolutely loved it. I feel like at the time I heard very mixed things about it, but I thought it was so good.
I think like so many Cronenberg movies, it's if you go in with any expectation, it's going to not be met because it's weird.
Yeah.
It's going to be unlike other things that you've seen before.
Exactly. And he is trying to, I mean, this is very much a return to his previous material. Mm-hmm. I think that it's also based off of a script he wrote in 2002. Mm. His very first movie is also called Crimes of the Future, but it's a totally different plot. So I think this is revisiting an idea that he'd like tabled for a while
so he could do
his violent gangster movies.
Yeah. He's like, let me take a little break.
But yeah, I mean, if not for the faint of heart, if you don't want to see not only gore, but like weird gore.
Yeah, totally.
But It's, yeah, if you're okay with that and you can kind of get a kick out of it, it really is fun and funny. It's also an art world comedy.
Yeah, like, I know, I love.
Because they're all performance artists, like it seems like in this world, performance art and body modification are a huge thing. Mm-hmm. And that's like who a celebrity is.
I love whenever, like, I'm trying to remember if they, I think they don't like the guy who's covered in ears. Like, I remember them making fun of other performance artists, which I really enjoyed.
It's so fun. Yeah, they, in the movie, the course of the movie, they go, we see them go to two other performances. Mm-hmm. And yes, Saul Tensler goes to the performance of this guy. I can't remember his character's name. In real life, he's a Greek professional dancer.
Oh.
But yeah, he's covered in ears.
Yeah.
Which he, Saul meets his, like, his morphology specialist.
Yeah.
At, like, the person who was like, let's get you covered in ears.
Yeah, totally.
And yeah, Saul Tensler is like, the dancing is good, but the ears are
whatever. Yeah. It's too much. It's a little on the nose.
So good. Oh, man.
Great flick.
Yeah, it's really, it was... It was great. And I also wanted to watch it immediately after because it feels so enjoyable and dense, but also not.
Yeah, totally.
It was so good.
I'm excited for his new movie, which is coming out soon.
The Shrouds. I know. That also feel like... That one's also about weird tech.
I think so. I think they always are, kind of.
They
these
are,
days.
Which is what he's interested in. And I love that.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
This is such a cool... such a cool story about human evolution.
Yeah.
and our evolution thusly involving the tech that we've adjusted
to. Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's such a fascinating take on that, and unlike any other one that exists already, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks,
rad.
David.
It's streaming on Hulu.
Checks out.
Yep. Yep. It rocks, man.
It rocks, man.
Makes me want to rewatch Existenz right away too.
Me too. I know. I never revisited it from, I watched it like maybe 10 years ago and also didn't really like it, but it was kind of before I found my entryway into David Cronenberg.
Yeah.
Like for a long time I was like, I don't really like his movies other than The Fly. But the older I get and the more of his movies that I see, the more I'm like, no, I do. I do actually really
like his
movies.
It's gonna blow your gourd, dude.
Yeah.
I was the same way.
Yeah.
But it's so disgusting, and
nasty.
That's gonna make you love it so much.
Yucky, the thing that I remember most is that yucky flesh gun.
I know.
That yucky, yucky flesh gun. That
you're gonna get a kick out of how he gets the gun.
Yeah,
because I forgot.
Pull it out of her back.
No. That's the port.
That's
the like
port,
bio
sorry,
port.
Yeah,
video game thing. Oh god,
gross movie.
Maybe that's what I'm watching. Like,
yeah,
it's just oh god.
It's so yeah, I'm stoked. And it's, by the way, it's 1999. You were so close. You were right there. You were right there. You knew.
Wow. Thank you, David.
Hats off to you. Ears off to you.
Jenny, tell me more.
Okay. Now I'm gonna tell you about the movie that you told me to watch.
Oh my god.
Great news. I watched another yes, another really yucky movie. Honestly, not yucky in a surgical way.
I know.
Heartbreaking.
It's true. It was a bit misleading, but it is medically yucky.
It's exactly. There's one gross medical scene, which is enough, kind of.
And then it also like makes me feel gross because it's the way the movie's bad.
It is. It's okay. I watched 1996's The Island of Dr. Moreau. which actually I learned. I think your partner also does this. I have a partner who likes to look stuff up while we're watching a movie, which I'm also sometimes this partner.
The drama around this movie.
It's a cursed movie.
Yes,
it's
that's
crazy.
What makes it feel haunted
it's
and gross.
It's so haunted. I did not know that till we were watching it. And he kept being like, by the way, such and such happened. By the way, such and such happened. I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So The Island of Dr. Moreau is from 1996. It's one of Marlon Brando's last movies.
Yep.
Also... This is when I confess to you, I think this might be the only Marlon Brando movie I've ever seen.
That's just not true. There's definitely...
I don't think so. I was looking at his filmography. He's in a lot of big movies. I haven't seen any of them.
I mean, I haven't seen a lot of the big ones. I've never seen Last Tango in Paris.
Me neither.
Never seen
I've never seen Apocalypse Now.
Oh, yeah,
that's,
I've seen that.
Yeah.
And I also, as you know, famously, I just watched The Godfather for
so
the first
true.
Time.
I've never seen it. It's
Don
so,
Corleone.
Anyway, it would be very funny, though, if the only Marlon Brando movie I ever saw in my whole life was The Island of Dr. Moreau.
No.
I think that's like a pretty good bit, so maybe I'm not going to watch this.
Oh, is that guy?
Yeah. Oh, Dr. Moreau from the island of Dr. Moreau.
Oh, that's so funny. He's in this?
That's crazy. Oh, my God. What? Oh, he looks really different.
He's really like a lot younger. Raging Bull. Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, everybody's familiar with the story of the island of Dr. Moreau. I'm sure I really have to tell
just
you.
Just in case you're not. It is off of an H.G. Wells book about...
So in the film, I've not actually ever read the book, so I don't know how close of an adaptation this is, but in the film, a man played by David Thewlis, whose name is Douglas, is shipwrecked or from his plane. His plane crashes in the middle of the ocean and he is stranded on a raft by himself. And he gets picked up by a boat that is heading, he's like kind of on his way to India or something. I think he's in the Jakarta Sea. And he, gets picked up by a boat that's got a couple of guys on it, including, Val Kilmer, who's acting really weird. He's acting so weird, who kind of, revives him by giving him an IV and some other mysterious liquids. And they land at, an island in the middle of the ocean. And Val Kilmer's like, well, you can either get off the boat here and use the radio, or you can stay on the boat with those weird guys. Your choice. And David Thewlis is like, cool, I will use the radio. And he gets on the island like a fool. However, on this island, it's owned by a mysterious man named Dr. Moreau, who won the Nobel Prize at some point. I read an article, or like, I'm trying to remember where the heck I read this, that it was like for inventing Velcro, which I don't think is real. No. Like, that can't be real. I read so many weird things about this movie. I don't remember what ones are true and what ones aren't.
We gotta watch the documentary that's about. There's a documentary about the making of it.
That makes sense because it's crazy.
It's like, oh, it's, God, the meatiest Wikipedia.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
So David Thewlis is wandering around with Val Kilmer. He's like, wow, what a gorgeous, lush, tropical island. There's mysterious animal sounds coming from the woods, but like totally fine.
It's fine.
There's like a young woman played by Fairuza Balk, just like dancing, weird, but fine. he then discovers really fast, actually, in the movie. I thought that this would be like a second act surprise, but no, with like 15 minutes into the movie, he finds out that this island is owned by Dr. Moreau, is a basically a massive laboratory where he is making human animal hybrids.
Yep.
And he immediately comes upon a lab where a weird beast woman is giving birth to a weird beast baby.
Yep. She's got like six boobs, like dog nipples. Yep. It's great.
It's really gross. this is the one scene where I was like, oh, there's the nasty lab scene.
Yep.
Then there isn't anymore.
It's true. But I'm sorry I misled you.
No, just totally fine. I would never regret watching this movie. It's also only an hour and a half, but somehow feels really long because it's just so weird.
My experience of this so movie weird. Is like, yeah, getting to the scene you're describing, and then all of the sudden you're at the end, and mm-hmm. like there's mayhem on the island, yeah, and
things are blowing
Val Kilmer
up.
Is like dripping in sweat in the dark.
It's
and
so
like...
gross. Yeah. So yeah, this. So I'm like, how do I even begin to tell you the story? This movie.
How do we get off the island?
How do we get
after
off the island?
After we figure out that it's a freaky testing lab and like his animal human hybrid children mm-hmm. are afraid of him mm-hmm. and also in service to him.
Yes. So Dr. Moreau has like seemingly tens, twenties, hundreds of these animal children all around this island. This island is chock-a-block full of these like animal human creatures. Which stand upright and talk, but look like animals in very fun practical effects.
Yep.
However, each of them is implanted with a chip upon birth, which Dr. Moreau controls and can like press at any time and cause them extreme pain. So they're all very servile to him. And then he has like four that he considers his actual children. Like everybody calls him father, but he has four who like live with him in his house. One of whom is Fairuza Balk. And then the other three are like a little more animal-y. Like Fairuza Balk just looks like a woman. You know, seemingly everyone, I'm like, they don't enjoy their lives. They're not having a good time.
No.
But they do love Dr. Moreau because David Thewlis immediately like gets a gun and is like, I'm gonna shoot this guy. This is crazy. But all of the animals are like, no, that's our father. Don't do it. And Marlon Brando's doing like this insane, like he's he's doing like kind of an effete, like he's doing like very feminine manner, and he's constantly covered in like a white paste because he's allergic to the sun. And he has incredible outfits. Like he has, he's dressed like in like muumuus and like wild weird hats.
Yeah.
And then he also has like a little guy who's always wearing the same outfits as him.
It's so,
played by Nelson De La Rosa, who is like one of the shortest people in the 20th century.
Yeah.
He was only 2'4".
Wow, that's right. And he's in a lot of stuff.
He's in a lot of stuff. He's a Dominican actor. But it's incredible. I also learned from the Wikipedia, as I learned many things, he was the inspiration for Mini-Me, because the two of them are always dressed exactly the same.
Okay, wow.
There's an incredible scene where Marlon Brando's character, Dr. Moreau, is playing the grand piano, and Nelson De La Rosa, whose character's name is Majai, is also playing a tiny piano
on top of the
grand piano. It's so good. It's so
That's
weird.
Why I was like, I just want you to like, it's kind of like movie. Dragging you down to the circle of hell that I live in, where I'm like, but Jenny, why don't you watch this movie?
I think you should watch it. Honestly, I had a great time. It's so fun. It's so weird.
So fun. It's like horrendously weird and so cursed.
Yeah, it's fascinating because like Marlon Brando knows he's in a weird movie, although apparently he has like an earpiece in for the entire movie because he refused to learn his lines, which I think is interesting. Well,
okay, so I learned for The Godfather years before this movie that... In a lot of the scenes with Al Pacino, like Al Pacino had like a bunch of script taped to him.
Incredible. The man simply did not want to work.
He's like, no, I don't.
I can really respect that. But like, yeah, he knows he's in a weird movie. Val Kilmer's doing a really weird thing. He knows he's in a weird movie. Both of them had also it's crazy. I'm like, where do we even start with all the weird stuff that happened during the filming of this movie? Val Kilmer found out right before they started shooting that his wife was divorcing him. So that's partially why he was like really unhinged during it. Marlon Brando's daughter had like recently committed suicide. So he's also like kind of losing it. And then it was originally Richard Stanley was supposed to direct it, who I know from directing Color Out of Space from a couple years ago. But he had been developing the story for 4 years, and then 4 days into shooting he's fired, and then supposedly came to set dressed as one of the like dog men and was like yelling at Val Kilmer during the shooting.
Oh my God.
And then they brought in John Frankenheimer to actually direct it, who I actually almost watched his movie Seconds for this too, because it's also a surgery movie from the 60s, but he's like also kind of like a weird American director.
Yeah, veteran director.
Yeah. And it's such, what a messy, messy production.
Color Out of Space is Richard Stanley's like the only movie he's directed
in the last like 30 years. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I know. I think I'm like, I wonder what his if there was some fallout from this.
Oh, I think definitely.
Yeah.
I think
for sure.
This movie made dad waves.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, like Val Kilmer is also famously like, you know, his career took a turn because he was so difficult to work
with. But yeah, fascinating. Also like kind of weirdly star-studded cast. Ron Perlman is an animal guy.
If you're going to have somebody looking like an animal man,
it should be Ron Perlman.
It's almost always Ron Perlman.
Mark Dacascos, who is the chairman from Iron Chef America, is one of the animals. Sorry, that's a little factoid for the food TV heads in the house.
Here, I've got another factoid for you.
Yes.
So you know how the animals say like, please don't take us back to the house of pain.
Yes,
that's where Irish rap group gets their name, House of Pain.
God, I mean, honestly, massively influential film. The Island of Dr. Moreau, a huge, it's a linchpin in the 20th century. Who knows where we would be if it hadn't been made.
Frankly, cannot recommend it enough.
Yeah, I had a great time. It's really weird.
It's really weird. I recently rewatched it just because it was one of those moments where my partner and I were like, well, what's something kind of dumb we can just put on like while I take a shower and you get dinner ready or whatever. And I already had it. I have a like a big old USB with a bunch of movies on it, and that's on there.
You're like, let's watch it, babe.
We were glued.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's the classic story of the Island of Dr. Moreau, but it goes on for a lot longer than I remember the story going on for. Is my review of
perhaps too long.
Perhaps too long. Kind of a fun, like, the direction's pretty fun though. Like, the writing's a mess, but like the direction's pretty good. I liked it.
Yeah, it's real fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Tell me your second movie.
Which is perfect because there's not much to say about it other than it being fun. Also, not a lot of surgery in it, but it is Medical Monk. I actually doubled up on Cronenberg and I had never seen David Cronenberg's Rabid.
Oh, I've never seen Rabid either.
1977. It's really early in his career. Fun. I'm pretty sure Shivers is still earlier. I'll double check. Yeah, so Shivers and then Rabid.
Nice.
So it's very, very early. Like, I think his two movies before that are very small. So Rabid stars adult film star Marilyn Chambers.
Oh, wow.
And it's about, what is her name in it?
Rose.
Yeah, Rose and her boyfriend Hart are in a terrible motorcycle accident that is conveniently happens right near a state-of-the-art plastic surgery place.
No.
Hart makes it out of the crash just fine, but poor Rose is also in a coma and severely damaged. And they have a special new tech that they're doing at this plastic surgery. What do I want to call it?
Like facility. Clinic?
Clinic. Yeah. Clinic, that's the word. Where they basically, like, it's so briefly mentioned, but the idea, because it's Cronenberg, is like new tech that we should be wary of, where they take skin grafts, but then like do something to it so that the skin like knows where it's being grafted to. So if like some thigh skin is grafted to your face, it becomes more like face skin, like softer and more supple.
Telling you that you're face skin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like smart skin.
Ew.
And Rose desperately needs skin grafts. Mm-hmm. And so they give her this treatment and she's out for like a month in this hospital. And when she wakes up, she seems good. Boy, is she lovely. She's Marilyn Chambers. However, in her armpit, there is a little orifice. And out of it comes a little, like, probe with a needle.
No.
And all she can do to survive is drink people's blood with it.
Fun.
Yeah, it's so
yucky. Fun.
And, It's actually kind of a zombie movie in a way, because when she does this, and she can't eat any real food anymore. She can only drink blood. And as soon as she bites somebody, they contract a form of rabies.
Oh, they become
incurable.
Rabid. Oh, no.
And then this spreads all over Montreal.
Oh, my God, amazing. Wow. Yes.
Yeah, fun. Again, there's not much to say about it. It is really fun.
Yeah, totally.
Was very charmed by Marilyn Chambers. Apparently David Cronenberg was like, I think, Ivan Reitman is the producer who like, he did a bunch of, what did he do? Ivan Reitman was involved in a lot of movies. He was like, you should call
Space Jam?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, Disturbia?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Ghostbusters?
Exactly.
Sorry, Space Jam is more important than both of those. So.
Also, don't forget Junior.
God,
and
so
Kindergarten
true.
Copper. Yes. The movies that Ivan Reitman directed.
Yeah, wow.
But Ivan Reitman was like, I guess David Cronenberg wanted Sissy Spacek, but her Southern accent wasn't going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ivan Reitman was like, you should probably put in this now very, very, very famous porn star.
Yes.
Because it'll help it sell across borders.
This is going to go great. Yeah.
And she does a great job.
Incredible.
I mean, simple little midnight movie.
You
know, it's great. And it's really gross.
Yeah.
Having a little like it's kind of sphincter looking thing in your armpit. Very Cronenberg. It's gross. It's very sexual.
Like the protrusion also is so like that's I'm thinking about when we did our last gross out episode and I watched
From Beyond
and like thinking about the his little protrusion that comes out of the middle of his head, his pineal gland, is like the grossest thing I've seen in a long time.
So disgusting.
It's so gross. It's really gross. Oh, God, something just grows out of your body. It's like disgusting. Movie.
Yeah, no, it's super gross. Like when they're examining it and it's like looking at like a, you know, a place you shouldn't be looking.
Yeah, ew.
And then some comes out of it.
Ew.
Very sexual.
Gross.
And disgusting.
That's David Cronenberg, baby.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Simple, beautiful in that way, you know.
Is it streaming anywhere? Did you watch it?
I did. I watched it on Shudder.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Poor Amazing. Rose. She's just trying to figure out how to survive, get reunited with her cute boyfriend who's worried about her.
Heartbreaking.
And she's sending all of Canada into a tizzy.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Happens to the best of us.
Please, if ever anything happens to me, don't take me to a state-of-the-art plastic surgery.
I promise I won't.
Yeah. Please don't.
Please don't. I watched one other movie that I also have basically nothing to say about, but I was like, it's perfect. It's
kind of
like
6 minutes left.
It's kind of a movie I just wanted to check off my list. I watched American Mary.
Oh my God. Yeah. I was wondering if you would. Yeah. That movie sucks.
Yeah. It's like, there's things about it that are interesting. For those of you who don't know, it's a movie from 2012 that's like basically a Hot Topic goth movie.
Yeah, it's a movie for Hot directed by identical twin goths.
Yeah,
who are the Soska sisters.
Totally, total freaks.
Who, actually, oddly enough, they made a remake of Rabid.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's any good.
I don't like them.
Yeah, I don't like them either. But but yeah, American Mary, kind of a famous movie from the early 2010s about a med student played by Catherine Isabel, who I know from Ginger Snaps and Hannibal, for the Hannibal heads out there.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She, to make some money, has like kind of accidentally and then very much on purpose falls into like body modification.
Like extreme body mod world.
Like really nasty body modification surgeries. And I watched it because I was like, the other two movies I watched weren't that bloody, so let me try to get maximum blood.
Yeah, it's pretty bloody.
And it is like, it's pretty bloody, but really like the opening sequences of her doing surgery on a chicken. And that's the grossest part of the movie. Yeah. It's like lots of really close up gross shots of like a scalpel going through chicken fat. And it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. It's like, I can appreciate it for what it's doing. It feels like, for me, I didn't love it, but compared to something like Promising Young Woman, which I think is kind of trying to do the same thing, it's actually way better. So.
Yes. No, it really is a very, very certain brand of feminism.
Yes.
And I 100% agree with you. Yeah. It's like, it's trying to be a bit of a rape revenge too.
Totally.
But like not quite like the classic genre type, but like, yeah, it's trying to do that.
Yeah. It's I'm glad I watched it just because I am like, this is an interesting kind of document of that time. And I feel like it was kind of a gap in my like 2010s horror film.
Yeah.
Like knowledge.
Yeah. It's good.
But yeah, I didn't care for it.
No, it's not great.
Yeah.
It like definitely fits the bill. 100%.
Yeah. Really yucky. Yeah. Like
so gross surgery.
Lots of yucky surgery. There were a couple scenes that I did like though. I like her. She kind of befriends like a woman who's had a bunch of plastic surgery to look like Betty Boop. And I really liked her.
Yeah. She was
great.
Too. She's really cute.
Yeah.
She's really cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not great.
No, it's not great. The directors make an appearance in it as twins who want to switch arms.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
It's really fun. Yeah. That's like, I mean, it has some vignettes in it that are really fun. But the overarching plot is kind of like, what? And then the ending is terrible.
Yeah.
It's a terrible ending.
I don't even remember the ending. I saw it when it came out. It feels like trashy in such
it's
a specific way.
Yeah.
Almost like a...
It's got a Rob Zombie
I was
flavor.
Just, just going to say Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
Yeah, like early 2000s, like we're living in a post-Saw world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like real, like extreme, like pretty bad soundtrack. Like it is, it's like
we're edgy.
Yeah, edgy. It's like Hot Topic goth. Like she's walking around in black latex and like 6-inch stilettos doing surgery. And it's like, why? Put on some sneakers. What are you doing?
No, you're on your feet all day. You don't
You'd be
that.
Really tired.
No.
It's like kind of, it was interesting. I was glad to watch it, but also like, okay.
It's one of those movies that like feels gross and it's not because what you're watching.
No, exactly.
It's like, junk food.
Yeah, exactly. It was like a little, I was a little embarrassed to press play on it.
Yeah, no, it's embarrassing. It's like totally embarrassing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, so now I've told everyone about it. Don't make fun of me.
No, I mean, I've also seen it.
Yeah. But yeah, that was my last gasp at an attempt at gore. And then I will say, I was like, oh, now I have to go to bed after watching this yucky movie.
I know. No. Oh, the movie that I didn't get to in time was a movie called Body Parts starring Jeff Fahey, who, you know, I love so much. About a guy who has a car accident and he gets his limbs replaced with those of a serial killers.
God, that sounds great.
Yeah, I know. So I didn't watch it because I was like, maybe this is more like a haunted body part movie, like Idle Hands.
Yes. Oh my God. We'll save that for next time. But yeah, this has been
Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda.
Jinx. We'll see you in 2 weeks with our next episode. If you want to learn more about us, you can find out more information on Instagram at Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda.
Sure can.
That's pretty much it. We'll see you next time.
Good night. Bye.